The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
It's our privilege to come your way and to share with you another opportunity for you to hear God's message of grace. If this is your first time listening, we'll hope you listen in again. But we ask that you pay close attention today because we're going to ask a question. A question that's asked in the Bible, and rightly so, although the men who asked it at this point asked it in a very negative way. The question is, by what authority? I'd like you to consider that. By what authority the Lord Jesus Christ, the day after His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, went into the temple and began to teach, and as He began to teach, He was interrupted by some very rude men. Actually, they were their chief priests and the elders of the people, and they asked Him a very pointed question. It's found here in Matthew chapter 21 in verse 23, and it says this, "And when He," speaking of Christ, "came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto Him as He was teaching and said, 'By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?'" You know, that's a question that's worth asking. You realize what they're asking Him. Here He is standing in their temple, teaching in their temple, and just teaching away with the people, and the people are listening to what He has to say, and they come in and they're asking Him, "What right do you have to do the things that you're doing and to say the things that you're saying?" A question that's appropriate, although at this time it was inappropriate. They asked the question far too late because our Lord had already been with them for the last 3.5 years. And has already taught among the people and already taught by what authority and who He was and what His credentials were. All that was already given. And now they're coming to Him after 3.5 years of knowing the facts and denying them. They begin to ask Him that question, "By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave you this authority?" When it says, "By what authority do you have to do these things?" Well, they're referring to the day before when He went into the temple and overturned money changers and drove them out. When they ask the question, "What right, who gave you the authority to teach the things that you're teaching?" They're actually asking Him by what authority, what right does He have to say the things that He's saying to these people? Well, you know, before we start answering that question, perhaps I would ask you, by what authority do you believe the things you believe? Stop and think about that. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to stop and think, by what authority, what right do you have to believe the things that you believe concerning these questions? Let me ask you. Is there a heaven? More pointed, is there a hell? Whatever you answer about those questions, just think about them for a minute. Is there life after death? And if there is, where will you spend eternity? Now, when you answer those questions, whatever you've asked, answered it in the privacy of your own home, just sitting there, and you think about these, now I ask you this, by what authority do you base your answer? What right do you have to say, "Yes, I believe there's a heaven," or "No, I don't believe there's one"? What right do you have to say, "I believe there's a hell," or "No, I don't believe there's a hell"? What right do you have to say, "I believe in life after death"? And by what authority do you base your belief on where you will spend eternity? I ask that question because several times when I ask people, if you were to die today, do you know whether or not you'd spend eternity in heaven? Most of the time, people will answer yes, that they believe they're going to go to heaven. And that would be great if everyone was. But when I ask by what authority, they begin to say, well, I believe I live a pretty good life. And then you ask the question, well, is that how you get to heaven, by living a pretty good life? Well, I think so. Well, why do you think that? And if you have to live a pretty good life, how good do you actually have to live? Just pretty good or perfect? Well, the Bible speaks about perfection. And so people begin to search their mind, but every time they do that, they're going back and they're deciding on their own opinions as if they are the authority. Another question I'd like to ask you, and I'd really ask you to stop and think about this, and you'll be tested as the program goes on. Who was Jesus Christ? And then again, what is this book right here, the one I'm holding in my hand, that we call the Bible? What is it? Is it the Word of God? Is the Lord Jesus Christ indeed the Son of God, came down from heaven? And if you think so, by what authority do you believe that? And if you think that Jesus Christ was a good man and the Bible is a good book, what basis do you support that with? What authority do you base that on? See, either Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God or he wasn't. He just wasn't some good man that walked the earth, because he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be God manifested in the flesh, came down to dwell among men, to offer to Israel a kingdom, to die on a cross, to pay for all of mankind's sins so that he can impart to them eternal life. That's what he claimed. So either he was who he claimed to be or he wasn't. Then the other thing, is the Bible the Word of God or isn't it? When you ask that question, is the Bible the Word of God or isn't it? You know, a lot of people have a Bible, they appreciate a Bible, they maybe put it on the table of their home, they display it somewhere, they value it, they esteem it, they think it's something special. But wait a minute, do you believe what it says it is? It says, the Bible claims it is the Word of God. So it either is or it isn't. And if it is, that's a mighty precious thing you have there. You would think that you'd spend more time reading it if you did indeed believe it was the Word of God. You know, the questions that I'm asking you and asking you to stop and think about, I'm asking you to stop and think because it seems like in today's society there's too much loose-ended reasoning, that they don't tie anything down, they don't come to any validity, any fact and determination and solid belief on something that can be supported. It's almost like the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, it says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, the Pharisees are always asking him questions, the lawyers are trying to trick him, and they always come to him and they address him Lord, or they address him Master. That's an interesting point in itself. You hear often today among religious people that God is that people always refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus. Jesus told me, and Jesus this. You know, in the Bible, no one ever addressed the Lord as Jesus. Except Judas, maybe. But everyone addressed him as Master, Teacher, Lord. Anyhow, in light of that, when they addressed him Lord, Christ stopped them right dead in the tracks one time. They're trying to trick him and ask him a question. He says, just stop right there. And he asks him a question. He says, why do you say, call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's a good question. Why would you address him Lord and then just go and do as you want and think as you want and not really say, wait a minute, if I really believe he's Lord, like I'm saying he is, then how come I'm not acknowledging him as Lord? So that's a question that just fitting to what we're saying. By what authority do we base these things? These elders and Pharisees, the chief priests and the elders came to Christ. He's teaching in the temple. By what authority dost thou these things? And by what authority dost thou teach them? And so they had a legitimate question. Their question was answered a long time ago. The Lord gave credentials the whole time that he was ministering. He did not expect men just to believe anyone who walks along and claims to have supernatural power and claims they can impart eternal life. He didn't expect man just to receive his statements at face value without having some kind of credential, some kind of basis of his authority behind what he did and what he taught. In fact, in the book of John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ gives three witnesses. We would say, and the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. We have that in our courtroom. You can't have and try someone and put up one witness against him. You always have to supply two there's three, two or three witnesses against the person. And so the Lord, he himself, had three witnesses. It tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 31, it says, if I bear witness of myself, and the Lord is speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. You know, if I got to toot my own horn, if I got to say all great things about me to establish who I am, then my witness is untrue. But see, that's not what he did. Our Lord was a lowly Savior. He never had to brag and demonstrate who he was. He just allowed his righteousness to speak for itself. He allowed his actions to speak for itself. He allowed the Bible to speak for itself concerning him. And you'll see that this way. It says in verse 32, there is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony of man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So the Lord Jesus Christ established that he had a witness, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and yet the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming as the prophesied king to the nation of Israel. And a king always had a forerunner to go announce his coming. And so John the Baptist was that for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the nation of Israel, when they saw John, the way he dressed, the way he lived his life, being part of the priestly line, they knew that John was indeed one of those old prophets. They haven't seen a prophet before John the Baptist for almost 400 years. And with John the Baptist showing up, the people held him in regard and knew that he was a prophet. But the words, the testimony, the witness of John the Baptist was that Jesus Christ was coming after him. And that Jesus Christ did indeed follow John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw him and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so John the Baptist witnessed to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to say, but Christ says, I don't receive the witness of man. The witness and the credentials of Jesus Christ are even greater than John the Baptist. It says in verse 36, I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to do, to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The Father gave an assignment to the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to earth, and the Lord Jesus Christ was fulfilling all his life the deeds that the Father had commanded him to do. The things that he spoke were the words of God the Father. The actions that he did, and the actions that he's referring to are the miracles that he performed. You know, we have some people that think they're doing miracles today, and most of the time they're doing nothing but deceiving people. The Lord Jesus Christ, he did actual miracles, to the point that if you read the book of John, you'll find out these same Pharisees at one point sat down and said, what are we going to do about this guy? The things that he's doing, if he keeps going, he'll persuade everybody. And they actually sat down and tried to think of a way to deceive the people from coming and to believing on Jesus Christ, because they saw the miracles that he did and realized that this man is not a normal man. He is indeed the Son of God. And yet they were trying to find a way to get people not to believe on him. So Christ says, the deeds that I do, they testify of me. And so his miracles show indeed that he is divine. He is indeed the Son of God. But even that's only the second witness. The third witness that he had says this in verse 38. It says, verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath bore witness of me, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Now, you know, how do you have a silent witness? He says, John the Baptist is the first witness. My deeds, the thing I've done, my righteous life, the miracles that I performed among you, those are the second witness concerning my authority and who I am. And the third witness is the witness of God the Father, but you've never seen him at any time. You never heard his voice. But it goes on to explain what that means, and it says, ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The third witness is the witness of God the Father, and Jesus Christ says that the witness of God the Father is the Word of God. He says, search the Scriptures. Go back in that Old Testament. They are they that testify of me. The third witness Jesus Christ had is called the witness of God the Father, and Jesus Christ is saying what's written in that Old Testament are the words of God the Father. And he says, he challenges them, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. The Lord Jesus Christ held that Bible in high esteem as being the very word of God itself. He challenged people to believe what was written in those Scriptures and to base their authority of their belief on what that Bible says. You know, John the Baptist is gone. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was here on earth, he died and rose again, he's ascended into heaven. He's not here to do a miracle before our eyes today. But you know what we have? We have what Peter calls the more sure word of prophecy. We have the word of God to be our final authority of what we believe. Whether there's life after death, I believe it because the Bible says so. And you know, when you start saying and claiming that this Bible is your final authority, when you start believing that there's life after death, there's heaven, there's hell, and that you can, and I hope you by the end of this broadcast that you'll realize you can know you have eternal life, or maybe you can know that you don't have eternal life. But hopefully you'll know that you can have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ based on the authority of this book, the Bible. Jesus Christ rests his credentials on this Bible, saying it was the Word of God. And that, my friend, is what you and I have to do. He goes down in these verses and he begins to say, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God? You know, the people in our society who live in this world today, they don't seek God's honor at all. They seek the honor of so-and-so's backing and this person's backing and I have these group of people that stand behind me. They're seeking honor from man. They seek what they believe and what they believe, and they base it on how many people back them up, how many textbooks might have it written down, or worse of all, how much tradition is behind you. For instance, a lot of people think they have eternal life and that they have the truth, and they're not turning it and getting it out of the Bible. They're getting it out of religious tradition. And they're saying, my grandmother believed that, my mother believed it, and therefore this is what I believe. Well, that doesn't hold up. Christ asked the question. He says, you can't believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God. You need to realize that this Bible is God's book. It's God's Word. And you need to go to this Bible and you need to find out from the Bible what it says about having eternal life. And you'll find out in many cases that the things people tell you are not true. In fact, this same passage goes down and talks about that Moses wrote of Jesus Christ and how they think they believe Moses, but they don't. It says, but if ye had believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? The Lord Jesus Christ says his very words is on the same authority, or that Moses' words are on the same authority as his. And Moses wrote the first five books of your Old Testament. In Matthew, Christ warns us concerning basing our authority and where we're going to rest our authority and making sure that our authority does not rest on the traditions of men. In Matthew chapter 15, let me read these verses to you. Chapter 15, verse 2 says this. Why do thy disciples transgress the elders, the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now that's what the Pharisees came and asked Christ, you know, hey, you're breaking our tradition. He answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? See, a lot of times religious tradition has nothing to do with the Bible whatsoever. If you're going to say you believe something, you better have a verse of the Bible that says that's true. Otherwise, you have no right to even believe in it. If it's just tradition, hey, look at the warning. Christ says, why do you break the commandments of God by your traditions? Over here in the same chapter, in verse 7, it says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Are the things that you believe just things that you got out of your own head? Things that your mom and dad have told you? Things that you have been raised in traditional religion to believe? And that when you search the Scriptures and are not a verse of the Bible that teaches those things? If so, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us, hey, the authority is the Bible. He is who he is because of the credentials he has from the Old Testament. That the Bible is what gives us the truth. In fact, the Sadducees, they're always coming to him and trying to question him. And it tells us in Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, they asked him a question concerning the resurrection, and the answer was very simple to them. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." They began to try to trick Christ by asking him what they thought was a very hard question, and Christ just simply says, "You know what? You always err, not knowing the Scriptures." See, all the authority of what you believe ought to be found in the Word of God, or you shouldn't believe it at all. When I say that because the Lord Jesus Christ stands on the authority of the Bible. And when I say I'm going to test you, I test you in this way. The Bible talks about creation in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. And in that record, it talks about how God created the heavens and the earth. You know, a lot of people today in teaching believe in evolution. I mean, in secular teaching. But not only in that, religious men are now getting to the point where they say, well, we have been proven that evolution is true, and that the Genesis chapters 1 and 2, they're just myths. But I want to stop and ask you, who is Jesus Christ, and what is this book? If Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he knows how this world came into being. And if this Bible is the Word of God, then it's the truth. And I say that to you because the Lord Jesus Christ addressed the Pharisees, and he says unto them, Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read," and he's talking about the Old Testament, "have ye not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause," and now at this point, the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting Genesis chapter 2 and verses 23 and 24. And he says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Some other time we can talk about the subject of divorce, but do you realize what Jesus Christ just said there? He said, "Have you never read that God who made them in the beginning, male and female, they did not evolve?" Jesus Christ was a creationist. If you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, then you have to believe in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, because he believed it. He believed it to be, he said, "Have you not read what God said?" And he quotes the Old Testament concerning God the Father in the act of marriage that he gave to Adam and Eve back in the garden. So the Lord Jesus Christ was a creationist. Do you believe your Bible? Do you believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? In Matthew chapter 12, there's another warning that's given to us. And, you know, a lot of times we get to those Old Testament stories and we ask ourselves questions like, oh, could there be a Jonah and the whale? And we begin to question things like that, and people say, oh no, I don't believe that Jonah was ever swallowed by a whale and spit up on the shores of Nineveh. And they begin to question things like that. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, he said, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign of thee. And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but that of the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." The Lord Jesus Christ says, look, just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in that whale's belly, so the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Speaking about his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. And he said, just like Jonah was in the whale's belly, so I will die and be risen again in 3 days. And that's a sign. Jesus Christ believed in Jonah and the whale. Jesus Christ based his resurrection on a sign that Jonah was a sign of him dying and going into the heart of the earth, and 3 days later rising from the dead. Now I say all that to you because he also tells us some other things. Romans chapter 4, it explains to us why it was that the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross and why he died. And on the authority of God's word, you can be saved and have eternal life because of what it says right here in Romans chapter 4 in verse 23. It speaks about Abraham, who believed in the promises of God and staggered not at the promises of God in unbelief, and as a result of that, God counted his faith for righteousness. And it says, it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but to us also, to whom it shall be imputed, but to us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. This verse tells us that just like Abraham believed God and God said, Abraham, you're righteous and you're saved, I give you eternal life, on that same authority, it says that if we believe, that righteousness will be given to us and that we can have eternal life if we'll believe that Jesus Christ died for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Will you believe unto eternal life?
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.